It's a privilege to be with you. This past Tuesday, I had the privilege of having lunch with your pastor, and this is an opportunity for us to catch up, and I'm glad to hear that he's taking a family vacation, finally. After all these years of working hard with his business and leading the church, it's good to hear that he and his family are having some time off. The last time I was with you, we were actually in the other building, and I shared a message that was 2 years ago. And so it's good to be with you again, and it's always an honor to bring God's Word. And I really do appreciate your pastor and his commitment to God's Word and his commitment to preach God's Word faithfully. Today, with God's help, I want to encourage you to be steadfast in serving the Lord. Unfortunately, we hear stories of those who start off strong in the Lord, they're excited about their faith, and then over time, they drop out of church and begin chasing after things of the world. And I thank God that you are here this morning, and I exhort you to remain faithful in serving our Lord. With this in mind, I've entitled my message, Keep Running the Race. Keep Running the Race. Every December, thousands of people gather on the streets of Honolulu to participate in the Honolulu Marathon. If you live in this area, you know about that because of the traffic. About 33,000 runners from around the world run in this race, many of which are first-time marathoners. This marathon apparently attracts a lot of runners. Some compete in this marathon to win. Others compete in the marathon to set a personal record. And of course, simply, there are those that run to get a t-shirt. And maybe some of you here this morning are runners and you participated in the Honolulu Marathon. You know, statistics indicate that about 71% of those who enter the race actually finish it. And if you think about it, this is quite an accomplishment to run 26 miles. That can be a very painful experience. The sad part is that 29% drop out of the race. This means almost a third or 10,000 runners do not complete the race. And I mention this marathon because I believe the Christian life is similar to a marathon. It is a race. It is a faith race. It is not a race to seek first place, but a race to complete. And when we run well and finish well, in God's eyes, we win. Let's look at what the Hebrews writer had to say about running this race. Find in your Bibles, Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. You will see in this text that is very, very practical. Hebrews chapter 12, just verses 1 through 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Please join me in a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for the privilege of being able to be in your house to worship with your people, but also to take this moment just to look at your word and to dwell on it and to understand more of what you're challenging your people to do. And so we ask, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would teach us this morning and that you would be honored and glorified in the things that are said. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The book of Hebrews was written primarily to a Jewish community, more specifically Jewish converts, who were tempted to revert to Judaism. In light of this, the writer of Hebrews warns them of turning back to their old way. If you look at chapters 3 and chapters 5, we see a stern warning from the writer. The Hebrews writer also reminds them of the supremacy and the sufficiency of Jesus Christ. In other words, Christ is superior to prophets and priests and angels, and the atoning work of Jesus Christ is sufficient to save them. And then we get to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 starts off speaking of a great cloud of witnesses, which is in reference to the heroes of the faith that are listed in the previous chapter, chapter 11. Now imagine with me Aloha Stadium full of men and women who have already finished the race. These heroes of the faith are not watching or cheering for us, as perhaps you've heard before, but rather they are inspiring examples of future believers. They give witness to the value and the blessing of living by faith. They give witness to the life and the power of faith. The Greek word for martyr is, or for witness, excuse me, is the word martyr. Many of these men and women in chapter 11 endured great persecution, and so they inspire us to run the race that is set before us. By the way, this metaphor to run the race is used in many parts of the New Testament. We heard one read earlier. We see it in 1 Corinthians 9, Philippians 2, Galatians 5, just to name a few. And so if the Christian life is like a race, how then should we run this race? In these three verses, I see three things that we can do in our life to run well as believers. The first thing to run well is that we must remove all hindrances. Remove all hindrances. Verse 1 says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Now, I always find it amusing when marathoners wear costumes as they run. Maybe you've seen that. Years ago, I saw a marathon runner, wearing a moose head while he was actually running the race. Another was dressed as a waiter, and he was carrying a serving tray. Perhaps you've seen some other fun outfits as you watch the Honolulu Marathon or any other marathon. Yes, these outfits are entertaining, but running with additional weight, as you know, is not easy. It can be a burden. You see, serious runners wear suitable sportswear that provide minimum weight. Some runners will even burn off extra body fat in preparation for race day. In our everyday race, it is actually sin that weighs us down. It is sin that is the burden in our race. We live in a fallen world, and sin is all around us, and sin is in us, and we struggle with sin. Sin frustrates our race. Sin complicates our race. Now, there are some sins that do not have a real hold on us. They have little appeal or power over us, but there are other sins that have a tight grip on us. And the writer says there is a sin that so easily entangles us. In other words, there are sins that seduce us and control us and make living the Christian life very difficult. And when we are entangled in this web of sin, this race, as you know, becomes very difficult. When this letter was written, some of the Hebrews were weighed down by legalism. They were caught up in Levitical sacrifices instead of the perfect sacrifice that is Jesus Christ. Some of the Jews were weighed down by rules. They were weighed down by traditions. They were weighed down by works. Now today, our struggle may not be with legalism or tradition, but with self-pity or spiritual apathy in our life. Our battle, our personal battle, might be with unforgiveness or maybe with materialism. There's a number of things that we battle. There are other things that stumble us as believers. You see, there are encumbrances that can become sin. For example, a habit might not be sin in and of itself, but it can hinder our walk with God. Hobbies are not necessarily sinful, but they can become an obsession, as we all know. Entertainment can be relaxing, and we enjoy watching TV, but it can also become an obstacle to spending time in God's Word. we should ask ourselves this important question: what hinders me in seeking and serving the Lord Jesus Christ? Now notice verse 1 says to throw off everything that hinders us. Other translations say to put away or to stop. In other words, unburden yourself or lighten the load. And so to finish well in this race, we must cast off those hindrances. This is a call to strip ourselves of everything that obstructs our walk with God. Why? Because a true disciple of Jesus Christ refuses to allow anything to hamper his or her devotion to God. I love 1 Peter 2:11, which is a powerful verse. It says, "Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul." Did you get that? Our sinful desires wage war against our soul. So what do we do with these hindrances? We take them to the Lord Jesus Christ and we confess them. We cast our cares on Him because He cares for us. Perhaps you need to lighten your load. Praise God, we can find forgiveness for our sins. And so first, a Christian must exercise discipline and throw off every association, every habit, every tendency which impedes godliness. So that's the first thing we see here. The second instruction for running well is to run with perseverance. To run with perseverance. Look at verse 1. It adds, "And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." It is common among marathoners to experience what is called hitting the wall. Studies show that marathoners usually hit the wall around 15 to 20 miles. This is where a runner experiences complete exhaustion. The runner feels sudden fatigue and loss of energy, and what happens is their legs begin to feel real heavy. Their muscles are sore. Their body aches. Their breathing becomes shallow and fast. Their feet are full of blisters. Their thoughts go negative, and everything in them tells them to drop out of the race. This happens to even the best long-distance runners. In a similar fashion, Christians can hit a spiritual wall. Sometimes we hit the wall when we burn out in ministry or we begin to doubt our salvation or what God has done in our lives. Sometimes we give up when we mess up. Some feel like God does not hear their prayers when they seek God for something very important, and or some lose their love and zeal they once had for the Lord Jesus Christ. It is during these times that we need to remind ourselves that the Christian life is really not a sprint, but more like a 26-mile marathon. And so this verse reminds me that I must approach my Christian journey more like a long-distance race, where at times I need persevering grit. You see, nowhere in Scripture does God promise our journey with Him will be easy. Nowhere are we told that a life of holiness is a life of comfort. Some who receive Christ think with salvation comes a trial-free life, when the opposite is true. God's Word warns us that persecution, hardship, suffering are all realities for those who love the Lord Jesus. You see, friends, on this side of heaven, we should expect adversity. We should expect trials. We should expect tribulation. These struggles that we have, these temptations that pop up in life, really should not surprise us. Some of you this morning might be right in the middle of an intense battle. Do you know that the word race is also used for the word fight or battle in Scripture? We are in a spiritual battle. We are in a spiritual battle. We are constantly battling the schemes of the devil. We battle worldly influences and fleshly desires every single day. In fact, this word race also comes from the root word, or has the same root word from the word agony. Agony. Let's be honest. Life is difficult, and sometimes we run this race in severe agony. Yet here's the good news. Good things follow perseverance. As we persevere, God builds character and hope in us. Listen to Romans 5, 3 and 4. It says, "But we also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope." James says in James 1, 2 through 4, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." Then if you turn to Hebrews 12, the writer talks about God disciplining his children so that they can share in his holiness. You see, whether we see it or not, God is always doing a good work in our life. And God's not going to waste adversity in our life. One day he will finish what he started in you and me. And so we shouldn't underestimate the value of endurance. In this race, it's not only how you start that matters, but also how you finish. And so we keep on running the race. We keep running the race. Now notice the writer also adds, "Run the race marked out for us." Now this tells me that God has a unique journey mapped out for each of us. No two courses, if you think about it, are exactly alike. For example, my journey is different from yours. You've had experiences that I've never experienced. But it comes down to this. God sets our course, and with his saving power, he helps us to finish the race. You see, running this race is not about earning our salvation or outdoing other Christians for a better crown. It is about loving and serving the Lord Jesus faithfully to the very end. In 1 Corinthians 9, Paul says, he did not run aimlessly, but he disciplined himself so that he could finish well. And so for some of you who serve in ministry, you know you don't always see the results that you want to see. For some of you who teach, maybe those that you mentor, you don't see the results you want to see, but you press on anyway because of God's calling in your life and his promises when we're faithful. And one day, like Paul, you will be able to say, "I've fought the good fight and I finished the race and I've kept the faith." And so meanwhile, we continue to run with perseverance. Now, there's one last tip for running well, which is, I think, very critical. And you see this in verse 2, and that is to fix our eyes on Jesus. Fix our eyes on Jesus. Now, if you look at verse 2, it says, "Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." In chapter 11, we read of great men and women of the faith. You can go back to that chapter sometime and read over it. You see, in faith, many of them did heroic things. For example, Noah, when warned by God, what did he do? He built an ark. By faith, Abraham left his home even though he didn't know where he was going. He walked by faith. Abraham also offered his son Isaac as a sacrifice. That was a great step of faith on his part. By faith, Moses chose to be mistreated by his own people to do what was right. And by faith, Rahab welcomed spies into her home. And so the list goes on. Yet these amazing feats listed in chapter 11 do not compare to Jesus Christ. What Jesus accomplished on the cross proved to be the greatest act of faith. Jesus is not only our example, think about it, he is our object of faith. He authored the faith, he founded the faith, he perfected it. He is a runner without parallel. You see, as a perfecter, Jesus is one who completes what he starts. He ran the race to perfect completion while trusting in his Father. And he also completes what he started in every believer. He is our supreme example of faith. Jesus also took on the shame associated with the cross, as Scripture says. As you know, to be crucified was the ultimate shame. Death by crucifixion was the most cruel and humiliating death ever devised by man. To the Jews, anyone who was hanged on a cross was considered cursed by God. Yet Jesus willingly went to the cross and endured the agony of the crucifixion. By enduring the cross, he despised its shame. You see, Jesus did two things on the cross for you and me. First, he showed us how to suffer with endurance. No one has endured such agony as our Lord did on the cross. Jesus resisted sin to the point of bloodshed. The second thing, and more importantly, is in joy, Jesus died for our sins as our Savior. He found joy in fulfilling the will of the Father, and now he sits down next to the Father, which symbolizes his completed work. Listen to Hebrews 1, chapter 1, verse 3. It says, "The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven." So what are we to do in light of all this? In light of all this, we exhorted to fix our eyes on Jesus. Today, we are so blessed to live on this side of the cross. Think about it. Those in the Old Testament only heard about the promise of the Messiah, but we can actually know the Messiah personally. The Bible gives us a clear glimpse of Jesus, and unlike those before us, we can read about the person and the work of Jesus Christ. And this revelation of Jesus gives us a picture of God and allows us to fix our gaze on the Savior. And so from afar, we can look at Jesus who is seated at the throne of God. We can get a sense of who he's like and what he's done for us. Coaches will often train the runners to keep their head lifted up when they're running. You see, when a runner is tired, typically what happens is his head drops. And when his head drops, bad things follow. When his eyes go downward, his breathing is restricted, his stride begins to shorten, his focus is more on his pain, and he cannot see the goal that he is running toward. You know, at times, we too are worn out, and our focus drops. Our eyes are distracted by the pleasures of the world, or our countenance drops because of difficult circumstances. Right now, you might be focusing on pain or hardship in your life. I want you to hear this. Some of us need to lift our eyes again. Perhaps it's time to lift your head and to fix your sights on Jesus Christ again. You see, Jesus is our finish line. Our goal is not to earn a ticket, but to be more like Jesus Christ every single day. 2 Corinthians 4, 17 through 18 is such an encouragement. It says, "For light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." Yes, while we on earth, Jesus is unseen. But the amazing thing is that one day we will see him face to face, and if we love him, it will be a glorious day. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ this morning, an inheritance awaits you. It won't be long before you receive your crown of glory, and that will be a glorious day. But meanwhile, Meanwhile, we are exhorted to throw off what hinders us. We're told here to persevere in the faith and to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus Christ. And so, friends, my challenge to you is to keep pursuing Jesus Christ, to keep running the race, to keep serving him like you're serving him, to keep enduring adversity, to keep praying, to keep forgiving, to keep sharing the gospel, to keep making church life a priority. God has given you everything you need to run this race well. Plus, we have each other for support and encouragement. Look at verse 3. It says, "Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." You know, this applies to you and me. There are times when we are weary. There are times when we lose heart. Yet again, we consider him who endured for our sake. You see, Jesus knows us real well. He knows when we experience doubt and when we experience discouragement and defeat. And so he gives us his word. And he's like that coach that says, you can do it just like those that went before you and finished the race. It was Paul who said, "Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." Now, I have been in this Christian race for about 38 years. And you know, at times this journey becomes difficult. I'll be honest with you. I get discouraged just like you, even as a pastor. But I want to share this commitment to you. I really want to finish well. Sometimes I have to remind myself when times are tough to finish well. So how about you? How about you? Do you want to finish well? Do you want to finish well? Perhaps in a moment you might want to recommit yourself to finish well. Now, no one can be a contestant in this race until they officially enter the race. And you enter the race only when you surrender your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, this race starts only when you become a believer. According to the Bible, an unbeliever is on the sideline watching. The good news is that God invites the unbeliever to enter into this race. To get in this race, it's as simple as ABC. First, you admit you're a sinner in need of God's forgiveness. You see, we're all sinners by nature and choice, and we need God's forgiveness in our life. Second, B, believe and place your trust in Jesus Christ as Savior. We must believe he died on the cross to pay the penalty of our sin. And third, C, confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord. To confess is to agree with Jesus. It's to agree with his word. You see, when you turn from your sin and surrender your life to Jesus and follow him, Jesus runs this race with you, and he also runs this race in you. And at times, he will even carry you. If you want to know more about following Jesus, you can speak with me after service. I'm available to pray with you if you're going through some difficult times and you need someone to lift you in prayer. For the rest of us who've already made a commitment to Jesus Christ, it's my prayer that you will finish well. That you will finish well. And so as I pray, I invite you to take a moment to talk to the Lord about helping you to finish well. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that you put everything in place for us to run well. You give us salvation. You give us faith. You help us each and every day. You carry us even when we don't see the work of your hand in our life. But Lord, we know that you've also called us through difficult times to keep our eyes focused on you, to persevere when things get difficult, to persevere when others it appears, are not cheering for us. And Lord, we all face those times. We all walk through those journeys where we feel like we're running this race alone, or we're feeling like we're not getting a lot of encouragement, or we feel weary because the work, the labor is hard. And so, Lord, once again, we come to you, first of all, just to thank you for all that you've done to allow us to be in this race. But we also want to pray, Lord, for endurance, that you would help us to be steadfast in the things that honor you. We thank you, Lord, that you lay out instruction in your word as to what we're called to do. And we learn our responsibility each week, every day as we read your word. But Lord, we still need your steadfast power to help us day by day through the help of your Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, thank you. Some of us this morning need to make that commitment to renew ourselves, to renew our commitment to lean upon you and to hold on to you during difficult times. Or perhaps we know people in our life, Lord, that are struggling, that need your help, that need your spirit to lift them up during this desert time in their life. And so we give you thanks, Lord, once again, that we can celebrate your goodness and grace, and we entrust again our life to you, that you might do as you purpose and will. And so thank you, Father, for speaking through your word, and continue to guide us this week as we serve you. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. It's been a pleasure being with you. And seeing what God's and hearing what God's doing in your life, I believe I was tasked with closing us in prayer. And so let's do that now as we prepare to leave and serve our Lord. Let's join together in our closing prayer. Father, thank you again for blessing our time together, for allowing us to be together to worship you, to sing praises to your name, and just to slow down from a busy week to sit under your word. And we pray now as we leave this place that we be mindful of your word, that we be mindful of what you are doing in our life. And use us, Lord, to be an extension of your grace as we tell others about the good news of Christ. We continue to lift up Pastor Dale and his family as they spend some quality time as a family, to refresh and renew, bless their fellowship and their time together. And just we pray that Pastor would come back refreshed and ready to continue in the ministry before him. We give you thanks, Lord, and we praise you, and we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.